Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
James! That was sweet!
Hit it! 42 for Kyrie!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Intercepted! Picked up by Cooper DeJean!
Just hearing that back, what goes through your mind?
It's crazy. Crazy. Still doesn't feel real to me.
Where is the football?
Hopefully one of our equipment guys has it.
Today's guests, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, comedian Chris DiStefano, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. I'm not lying. I'm here. Hey. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku Sports Channel, 12 to 3 Eastern every day. Love being here. Love being here on the Infinity Sports Network, 12 to 3 Eastern every day. 120 radio affiliates. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Also, we're on Sirius XM, channel 375. We're in the ear gates of everybody who listens to podcasts. We appreciate all 3 hours being taken in that way. If that's the way you want to take us in, the Odyssey stream as well. You can stream us listening. You can stream us viewing. And if you're listening, I'm wearing an outstanding blue sweater because it's raining outside. And that's the way we roll here in Los Angeles. Mike Mayock's first up, and I'm getting everything that I just said, anything that sounds soft, I'm getting that out of the way before Mayock joins. Tom Pelissero will join us in studio, hour number.
Oh,
I don't know what he's doing here in LA.
Tommy P.
I don't know what he's doing here in LA.
Live Tommy P.
We'll take him. We'll take him. Yeah, and then Chris DiStefano, the comedian, will join us in hour number three. He's never been on the program. The fact that he's coming in what is called an atmospheric river in L.A., that is big.
Okay? Commitment.
That is commitment. That's friendship for life. Yep. That's BFFs forever. And so that's how we're rolling today. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. Have you noticed how great Kat has been playing since the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
He's been terrific.
Another 40 and 12 last night.
Great
man,
piece.
Man.
I guess was it Jamal Murray also rooting for the Eagles?
Felt like
a double nickel on Wednesday night. Good to see you, Chris Brockman. The man who personifies every squirrel finds a nut, Mike Del Tufo, everybody.
Yes. I lost a squirrel this when I was gone.
Rest in peace. No.
One of them, rest in peace.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to hear
Charlie,
that.
I think I'm going to just name him Charlie.
Charlie,
rest in peace.
Oh, my gosh. Didn't look both ways, huh?
Nope. Car got him.
Good to see you, T.J. Jefferson. How are you, sir?
Great,
good to
see you. How you guys doing?
I'm hanging in there.
I would say also, Kat, his game stepped up once he started a friendship with me.
There you go.
Okay.
Attaboy. I appreciate that. Listen. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
You know what happened today?
We woke up.
No. What happened today? It was the end of the ride. The end of the ride that everybody in jet country knew when Aaron Rodgers was coming is going to go either one of two ways. One of two ways. You know, there would be a ribbon cutting for a new Jets world. Instead, today, 2 years in, it was a cord cutting. It was a cutting of the ties, and we all knew it was going to be one of the two. Aaron Rodgers acquired by the Jets a couple of off seasons ago.
Where is Aaron right now?
And where he is not with the Jets. And the reason why are we bringing this up? Because the Jets decided to tweet it out and put out a statement today. After all the stories were coming out over the weekend, I mean, and it was very coordinated. I don't know who was the one who put it out there. It flashed on every Twitter account of any news and information person that you follow. Ian Rappaport reported it right around the same time that Schefter reported it, right around the same time we had Scoopage on Fox.
Scoopage.
You know what I mean? And so it came out, and then we got Diana Russini adding some more flavor, just like New Orleans cuisine. More flavor that the Jets and Rodgers met in person. And basically, Aaron Glenn told Aaron Rodgers, if we're going to do this, you are going to be one of the 53. You are going to be the person who comes to every single practice, and you are not going on Pat McAfee anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm probably oversimplifying it.
Mm-hmm. Eh, more or less, but, that was
you know.
What that
but
was that,
but man. You know, you want to talk about just the nards kicking? Sure, why not? What did the Jets get for Aaron Rodgers in the end? They got a lot of excitement right off the bat. They got an outstanding infomercial for 6 weeks over the summer of 2023 on HBO. An outstanding infomercial on being a Jet and Jets fans pouring out 50 years of nards kicking. Every single time Rodgers stepped on the training camp practice field. Oh, we're finally going to get it. It's finally going to happen. We got Aaron Rodgers. We got everything else. All we just need to add is that Aaron Rodgers. Oh, it was all poured out there only to get the axe in the chest like The Shining at the start of the 2023 season on opening night. Carries out the flag on 9/11, then gets carried off the field. And that's what the Jets get for 2 years of Aaron Rodgers. Four snaps, five wins. $49 million in dead cap money that they can save $9.5 million on if they designate Aaron a post-June 1st cut, which they will. And they coughed up a first-round pick, two twos, and a sixth-round pick to go get him. And let's toss in the third-round pick they gave to go get Davante Adams for him. And all they got out of that was three more wins. And they did get, you know, a nice moment for Packers fans to see Rodgers to Adams once again in very significant ways in the final games of the regular season that destroyed their draft position by a few spots. And they did get to see Aaron Rodgers toss 3,897 yards and 28 touchdowns, which is the third best regular season for a Jets quarterback ever.
Oh, that's nice.
They got to see all that, but that's it. And we knew it. I knew it. I knew it when I was saying how great this is going to be, and I knew it when Robert Saleh, you remember him?
Oh.
Was talking about how he's got the receipts that was long as a CVS, you know, receipt of all the people saying that things aren't going to be gassing or breaking and all popping and all that sort of stuff. And now the guys who... went and made this happen, are all fired. All fired. They're gone. And the thing that, you know, the thing about it is you can't blame the Jets for doing it. And you can't blame Aaron Rodgers for wanting it either, because it was the right move at the time. It really was the right move at the time. They drafted a team with Joe Douglas that arrived sooner than anybody expected. Mm. And Zach Wilson, who they drafted in 2021, was clearly not going to work out in New York City. And they had to move on from him. And Woody Johnson wisely told the Jets, go for it. Move on from him. And Aaron Rodgers is raising his hand, saying, I'll be Brett Favre 2.0. I'll be the first ballot Hall of Fame Packer who wants to continue his career and go to the Jets and try and make the Jets champions. I'll do it. And the Jets willingly said, okay. And God bless Brian Gutekunst for having zero leverage and still getting what he got out of the Jets. And kudos to the Jets for doing it. The only reason why I'm bringing up first round, two twos, sixth, and a third for Devontae Adams is because it didn't work out. I say it to you all the time. Draft compensation means nothing if you get the Lombardi in the case.
Zero.
Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about what was given up. Anybody talking right now in Philadelphia about Howie Roseman gave up for this player or this amount of money or that cap hit? Or absolutely not. They're getting ready for a parade. They're greasing up poles. Not doing that. Anybody in Kansas City talking about what they gave up for Mahomes to draft up to go get him in Philadelphia? Has anyone ever done that? Maybe when Alex Smith took him to the playoffs that first year?
The Bills fans?
You know what I mean? Yeah, the Bills fans, because the Chiefs made a trade with them as a draft partner to go get Mahomes and Xavier Worthy. But I digress. Listen, that's the only reason why I bring it up. It didn't work out. That's the thing that's the gutter ultimately for the Jets, is they cut ties with Rodgers on this day. The Thursday after the Super Bowl, where one of the end zones was painted green and everybody thought that's what's going to happen while Rodgers is a Jet. We're going to see a green painted end zone. Turn out to be the Eagles. And you can't blame the Jets for cutting a cord now either. That's the crazy thing. You can't blame them. Hey, you hire Aaron Glenn after you blow out the coach and the GM midseason and only get three wins for it, basically. And you're going to just cut it all out and burn it all down on the quarterback front. Because it doesn't need to be burned down in a lot of places on this roster. One would think, although it was a team effort when winning only five games this year, it's not Rodgers entirely. He did have 11 interceptions. And, you know, a handful of appearances media-wise that did cause maybe a conversation or two to be had locally in the locker room. Who knows? Everybody that I speak to says Rodgers is widely beloved in that locker room and will be tough to replace in that locker room. But if you're Aaron Glenn, you have to make a maneuver to say, I'm the only Aaron here that has a say in everything. For 2 years, the Jets bent over backwards. They didn't just acquire Rodgers. They turned it into Rodgers' world. That's all in there. That's the definition of all in. And it led to nothing. And now you're trying to install your culture. And if you don't want to sit down on a Tuesday and say, what did my quarterback have to say about the locker room, the loss? What did my quarterback have to say about immunization? You know, what did my quarterback have to say about geopolitics? What did my quarterback have to say about X, Y, and Z? If you're a head coach and you don't want any of that, this is what happens. And it makes sense. But the only thing is here is the Jets are back to square one on a quarterback again. You know, and you look back on the last century. We're now a quarter of the way into this century. And, you know, the Jets were a team that drafted Kellen Clemens on the back of the Chad Pennington era, and then finally draft Mark Sanchez and get a couple of major big-time seasons out of him before you realize not working out here. He's eating hot dogs. They're drafting Geno Smith. He gets a couple of seasons there. And then you're saying, maybe it's not him. Let's draft Bryce Petty. And then you're drafting Bryce Petty. And Geno Smith gets clocked in the jaw by IK Edenpali. And you go to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has a great season, but you're realizing it might not be all that great with Fitz at the end. So let's go get Christian friggin' Hackenberg.
Wow. I forgot about
second
that.
Second round pick.
We are.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Let's go get him. He doesn't play a damn snap. Now you're in 2018. Let's get Sam Darnold. It's not the same darn old Jets until it is. And then let's get rid of him. And let's get Zach Wilson. That doesn't work out. Let's get Aaron Rodgers. And yada, friggin' yada. Here the Jets are in 2025 with Tyrod Taylor and a couple of kids on the roster that have yet to play a snap. And you're going into a free agency period where the best quarterback may be, wait for it, Sam Darnold, and a draft with two kids at the top of the draft that you might not be able to get by sitting there at seventh overall because Aaron Rodgers won too many games with Davante Adams playing fantasy camp going out the door. Did I cover everything?
Yeah. Jeez.
So it's just the typical thing of just, you know what? Right move to try it, right move to stop trying it. But where does that get you? Hopefully with a new coach, with a new culture, who is going to install the right thing with a bunch of kids on this team, find the right quarterback. God bless it, find the right quarterback. Stop this frigging carousel that keeps on spinning and refuses to stop spinning. And when it stops and somebody with an incredible resume hops on it, he doesn't hop off it with the football gods snickering in the corner. And that's the way we start today's program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
How you feeling?
I'm great. I am. Can't wait to talk about Alex Bregman, the Red Sox. That's coming up. Oh, we're going to have a fun conversation here.
I am so pumped.
Yes. I don't blame you for being pumped. Although I do believe there was an out in the contract in the middle of my first sentence about it.
Probably. Okay. But that's fine.
Has he opted out yet?
He opted in.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Mike Mayock will join us to review one last time the Super Bowl. He's zooming in from Philadelphia and set up the draft season that begins basically for me right now.
Combine invites announced.
And that's an interesting, which member of the Colorado Buffalo football team did not get one? 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Are you looking for a voice that truly represents your values? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, was created to champion the needs of Americans who believe in faith, family, and freedom. Members gain access to incredible member benefits and discounts, including the award-winning AMAC magazine. From exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, everyday services, to a strong voice in Washington, the Association of Mature American Citizens is here to make a difference in your life and in our nation. Anybody at any age can join. And you'll belong to a community that stands for timeless American values. In honor of President Trump's first 100 days in office, AMAC is offering an incredible deal. Incredible. Enroll in a 5-year AMAC membership for 47% off. Normally it's $60. Join today. It's $32. That's $7 a year. Visit amac.us/mark. That's amac.us/mark. Join today. Take advantage of this special offer. That's amac.us/mark. Join AMAC and become part of a movement that stands for you, your family, and your future.
Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge. So you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel. Radio will rejoin shortly. Mike Mayock about to join us as well here on the program. Just a little bit of housekeeping from yesterday. Remember, Mike Florio was on, and he held up the two lights that were given out to him.
Yes.
In the Superdome. What is it? That's for the halftime show, right?
And they
were
flashing.
So, yeah.
And he was like, it was still flashing.
3 days later.
3 days later, right? And like nobody bothered to turn these things off, I guess. Mike sent me a video this morning. Go for it. They're still going. They're still going. Careful if you have a problem out there.
I mean,
you can take that down.
That
I know the flashing is not probably not good for some people if they're watching.
Yeah. Seizure.
Jeez.
It's still going.
Wow. 4 days.
We need to make sure if there's anybody else who still has them, please tell us they're not. And that this is the way the NFL is just messing with Mike Florio. Like, do not turn Florio's lights off. Keep them flashing.
Pretty funny.
We're sick and tired of Florio calling us for comment about something we don't want to comment on. Keep those lights flashing. Oh, is that a Lego Seinfeld set behind it?
Look at
Florio doing his thing. Okay.
Lane right on.
Parade tomorrow.
Wow. Parade. Nice.
Yes or no? Does Kelsey show up in a Mummers?
I don't think he's there
outfit.
At all. I don't think he's there at all.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Rich, he's not on the team.
It doesn't matter.
Why?
Come on, dude.
He's not on the team. He's not going to be there.
I disagree. I think he will be there. I think he will be there. I think I don't know if his lovely wife will be there because she is
very
pregnant.
Very pregnant.
We saw her at the New Heights party.
We did. Very pregnant.
By the way, I was standing there when Flava Flav went over and said hello to her and actually touched her baby bump.
Not weird.
Weirdest part of the entire Super Bowl weekend. And that's saying a lot in New Orleans. Right?
Is it a boy?
Nice. Oh, God. Nice. You guys. Very good.
Good job.
Okay. Mike Mayock about to join us right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then Tom Pelissero in studio right behind him. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's one of my favorite humans, and I want to talk with him about the Super Bowl before we turn the page to the draft season. None other than my friend Mike Mayock back here on the program. How you doing, Mike?
Rich, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You're in Philly? Is that where you are?
I'm in Southeast Georgia.
Okay, Southeast Georgia. Very good. Because I was going to ask you how the light poles were doing. All right, so I'd love to get your two cents. What were you thinking watching this Super Bowl 59? Mike, as it played out?
I think three things stuck out to me, both during the game and then when I watched the tape again. And number one, the Eagles defensive line, everybody knows what they did. They didn't blitz the whole game. And Rich, I don't care if you're Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, if you get hit early enough, often enough, or feel enough pressure get moved around the pocket, sooner or later it speeds up your internal clock. And that happened really quickly to Mahomes. No, and by the way, I mean, that's not a shot at Mahomes.
No.
That's just saying that the Eagles' defensive line compressed that pocket like I've never seen in a Super Bowl before. The tackles from Kansas City got pushed back into his lap. The Eagles' defensive tackles are so fast. Jalen Carter chased them down in the first or second series from inside out. The defensive line, I thought, was the number one story of the game. The number two story of the game for me is that all year long I've been saying somebody's going to have enough talent and a good enough scheme to force the Eagles to play left-handed, meaning shut down Saquon Barkley and force the quarterback to beat them. The quarterback, again, in his second Super Bowl was outstanding, especially his deep ball accuracy and his ability to use his legs to win a football game. So you're always probably going to want a little more from him in the conventional pass game, but the combination of what he can do with his legs and his accuracy, I think, makes him a high-level quarterback. And then lastly, and very simply, even though they couldn't run the football, you know, Barkley averaged under 3 yards a carry, they stayed at it. And it's such a lesson for other NFL teams. Rich, they ran the ball 45 times, and they only averaged 3 yards a carry. But they knew who they were. They understand their identity, and everything comes off Saquon Barkley in the run game.
And, you know, of all the things you just said, I want to linger on Jalen Hurts for a second, because we're going to end up having this conversation quite a bit, as we always do at a combine and a draft season, about finding the franchise quarterback. The, you know, Hurts, you mentioned his deep throwing ability and so many of his great decisions that he made in yet another big game of his life. It is just the inner stuff, though, that I love about him. I love his journey. I love the inner stuff. How can you find that out at a combine? How can you find out what a kid's makeup is at a combine, in a top 30 visit, in over the next 2 months, Mike? Give me some examples on finding that stuff out.
Yeah, I think the combine is really hard because you get a defined number of minutes and a horn blows and the kid moves on. You know, so you're trying to get at the combine, you're trying to get a little bit of X and O schematics out of them, but you're also trying to meet the kid. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the beginning of the process, because you're going to go from that. You're probably going to be at his pro day workout. You're probably going to go out to dinner the night before if you can. And there might be 10 teams that want him. I mean, I remember the night before CeeDee Lamb worked out, we had him out to dinner. And what an impressive, impressive young man he was. But the first time I met Jalen Hurts was at the combine interview, and I came away deeply affected. I mean, humble, with a wonderful story to tell you a little bit about, son of a coach, all these different coaches, coordinators, gets replaced at halftime of a national championship game by Tua. Mm. So there was, I felt, Rich, in a very short amount of time, I felt an inner strength from this kid that was rare. And I remember it specifically. So I followed up with him a little bit thereafter. And obviously the Eagles took him in the second round. And the first time I went to an Eagles practice, and as you know, I live in Philly most of the year, I went down to an Eagle practice and training camp, and somebody jumped on my back, and it was Jalen Hurts. And he hugged me and said, you know, I thought you were going to take me. And again, it was just kind of feeling this connection with a young man who had a real story to tell. How did you deal with adversity? And that's a big question in all of our lives. We all want to know how our kids are going to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And this kid, what was he, the 53rd pick in the draft? Second round, I think there were 8 quarterbacks left in the quarterfinals. 7 of them were first rounders, and he was the only one that wasn't.
Wow.
Yet he walked away with the brass ring. And there's more to this kid than height, weight, speed.
Yeah, and it's amazing, the guy who he's throwing touchdowns to in the Super Bowl is the guy who caught the pass from Tua the night he got benched to win the national championship. There's so much, you can't make this stuff up, Mike Mayock, from this team and the roster building. And I know you admire what Howie Roseman does from your position. Give me your number one Howie Roseman move for this roster. Give me the one that you're impressed with the most, Mike.
It's funny because I do a podcast with my daughter about the Eagles. Yeah. So I've watched every tape. I've got 9,000 pages of notes. And I got all Howie's moves right in front of me here.
I love it.
And, you know, I broke it down to trade, draft, and UFA. And on the trade side, A.J. Brown and Darius Slay. And don't forget, I mean, Jahan Dotson was a little bit of an oversight all season, yet, you know, he caught the first big pass down to the 1 yard line. Free agency. Saquon Barkley, to me, that's the biggest. It's the most obvious. It's also the biggest, not just because of who he is on the field, but I think he was a calming influence in that locker room that was in shambles after a year ago. And when your best player, Rich, is the most selfless on your team, when he's saying, now you don't need to put me back in against the Giants, I don't need to set that record. all the players in the locker room were looking at each other saying, how can I be selfish if he's selfless? And I think he did a lot to calm down that locker room. So between him and Zach Bond in free agency, and I think you got to give Vic Fangio a little pat on the back for that one in addition to Howie. And then you look at the draft. Rich, they don't miss in the first round. You know, Devontae Smith was a first-round pick, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinyon Mitchell. And in the second round, just in the last four or five years, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Jalen Hurts, Cooper DeJean. And that's a long way of saying, Rich, that a general manager's job is 365 days a year of player acquisition. And what I think Howie does better than anybody is he hits all of it, whether it's draft, free agency, trades, undrafted free agents. I mean, they're starting safety, Blankenship, undrafted free agent. So I don't think you can just identify one move, even though Barkley would be the one. I think you have to look at the composite of what he's put together. I thought they were the best roster 2 years ago against the Chiefs in the whole league. I thought they were the best roster a year ago and this year. So I think Howie Roseman just continues to outdo himself.
Yeah, and he pays the right guys too, right? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to pay somebody, let's pay Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. Like, and you're not missing on that. And then you're one of your linemen, a couple of your linemen. Like, he seems to hit it right when it comes to paying. He's not dead capping a lot of mistakes. You know what I mean? He seems to nail that one too, Mike.
You know what it is, Rich? And part of it is he came up on the salary cap side. So he understands the infrastructure of what you can and can't do dollar and cents wise, as well as any general manager that's ever lived. But to manage the roster and the cap the way they do, you also have to draft well, because you have to have a nucleus of young players playing on the rookie wage scale. That's the key. That's how you can retain players as they get older and better, as long as you're replenishing with rookie cap guys. So I think that's really the sweet sauce. Can they do things, you know, can they do things like extend players and pay out a bonus that doesn't count against the cap? And they have all those things too, how he uses everything he has. But you can't do what they've done unless you draft well.
Mike Mayock here, Believe in Eagles pod. He and Lee Mayock co-hosting that together. Obviously, check it out this week after the Super Bowl win in Super Bowl 59. It's now combine time, Mike, and I'd love to pick your brain on a couple of things. First up, Travis Hunter is going as a cornerback. You hear that and you say what?
I say appropriate. And I think most NFL teams are going to work him out as a corner. That will be his main job. But I think you're short-sighted if you don't think he can help you on offense also. So what I'd like to see happen, he was listed at about 181, 182 pounds. I think once he gets into a situation where he's playing predominantly one position, he's on a nutrition and weight program where he can concentrate on being a great corner, I think he'll be 190 to 195 pounds. But I also think I've never seen a better conditioned athlete from the college tape I watched. And I think you've got to find a package of plays every week for this kid on offense. And he's got to play. And 1 week it might be 6 plays. Another week it might be 14 plays. But you got to get him some touches on the offensive side of the ball because he's just too special.
And I know you left this life long ago, but you're sitting on NFL Network. Boy, I want to see him working out, man. You know, I want to see him working out. I want him out there. I don't know if we will. But that said, let's say he does work out. And how do scouts go up to who and say, we want to see him run routes too? Like, do we see him work out with the wide receiving group as well, Mike?
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know what he will or won't do at his combine or his pro day, but typically there'll be a group of scouts that ask, hey, I want to see Christian McCaffrey run routes as a slot receiver.
He was unbelievable when he did that, Mike. He was better than every wide receiver that day. When he did that.
Right?
Yes, I remember that. He was the best at it. He was unreal.
And that's my point. When the scouts want to see something, when the coaches want to see something, they ask. So I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to ask him to do some things. Now, what he does and doesn't do is ultimately up to the kid. But I at the end of the day, he's supposed to be a great kid. And all you got to do is turn the tape on. There's not a whole lot of questions there.
And I'm wondering how the news said in Boulder, Colorado, that Shiloh Sanders did not get an invitation. Who decides who gets invited and who does not at a combine, Mike?
Well, there's basically every team in the league has some input. And the combine has their own cooperation with a group of scouts and people from around the league. And I've seen teams try to get a kid invited, like, hey, so-and-so didn't get invited. On the other hand, I've seen teams happy that a kid doesn't get invited because they happen to like them and say, let's keep this kid quiet. I mean, that's reality, Rich.
Like, don't give him any shine, any spotlight, because we want him under the radar so we could snag him. That's what you're saying?
Hell yeah.
Unreal. Yep. Wow. What's your assessment of the quarterbacks? I know I asked this of you 2 weeks ago, but I'm wondering if you've grinded any more. And now, I mean, I see so many of these evaluations where Cam Ward or Shador is number one, and somebody even thinks the Giants will trade up, things of that nature. What's your opinion of the quarterback group here, Mike?
Well, to oversimplify, I think that Cam and Shador, in whatever order, are one and two. I don't think you can put them in the top four from last year. I thought Bo Nix might be an interesting comparison for Shador. I think both of them are going to have to go to a place that's a good fit for them. Realistically, Rich, you can go back over the last 20 years and look at the NFL draft in the first round of quarterbacks, and at best it's a 50-50 proposition. And most of it's because kids get pushed up higher than they should go, and there's a bad fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Bo Nix was so interesting to me last year. I don't think I gave him enough love last year. He was a better quarterback than I thought he was. But most importantly, he went to a coach and a system that was a really good fit for him. They surrounded him. They put an infrastructure around him, not unlike Minnesota did with the USC retread this year. Thought Kevin did a great job supporting that situation. So for me, I think quarterbacks probably go too early most of the time, but most importantly, it's about the infrastructure and the fit. And if you don't make that kid, if you don't, like, look at the kid in Carolina right now. You know, he played a little bit better this year, but it was a stark comparison to him and C.J. Stroud in year one. And, you know, you look at Jaden Daniels. What a great fit. What a great job they did. I think Caleb Williams is just as talented. Be interesting to see what happens there. So, I mean, that's my diatribe on quarterbacks and where they end up. And, you know, that most of them get pushed up higher than they should go.
And so who's currently right now sitting atop your draft board? Who's number one? Who's the best prospect that you think is available?
I'll put it this way, and you'll laugh because you've heard me say this before, but
yes.
I think Cam Ward has the higher ceiling, and I think Shador has the higher floor. So, you know, Cam to me is a little bit more of a, I don't want to say boom or bust because I don't think he's a bust, but he's got a chance to play at a very high level because he's very gifted. I think Shador is a little bit more like Bo Nix, where he's really accurate, really smart, good decision maker, needs to get to the right place where they take advantage of those things. Because I thought he did get in some bad habits in the pocket in the last 2 years with that awful offensive line in front of him. So what is interesting to me, Rich, is behind those two guys. You know, I think the kid from Ole Miss, Jackson Dart, has made up some ground. He can spin it. And he's not a great athlete, but he's not a bad athlete. Jalen Milrow is the guy that has first-round talent all over him. Big, strong, fast, big arm, but had a bad year this year. Too many question marks. I'd love to get him in the second or third round and have no pressure to play him, put him in a system behind, you know, like Green Bay's done the last several quarterbacks. You know, sit a guy for 2, 3, 4 years, let him absorb it and learn from it, polish his craft, and come out and start 3, 4 years into his career. That's the guy that I'm intrigued by.
And what about overall? Throw defensive players in, everybody in, at the entire draft in a hat. Number one atop your board is who, Mike?
Number one with everybody, it would have to be the corner slash wide receiver from Boulder. I think he's rare. I think he's special. I think you and I could have a great conversation about the running back situation in the NFL. And has that changed? The undervaluing of running backs because of what happened in free agency a year ago, you know, with Saquon and Josh Jacobs and the kid in Baltimore and the seventh round pick for Joe Mixon. But that's a way of saying Ashton Jeanty to me from Boise. Man, is he fun to watch. I love his tape. I think he's special. I think his contact balance is rare. I think he's a first round running back. And then the two guys that I love watching, Rich, are Abdul Carter from Penn State.
He's amazing.
Who I think is a high-level edge rusher day one. And there's a kid in Georgia that reminds me a little bit of Micah Parsons. And his name's Jalen Walker. And the reason, two reasons he reminds me of Parsons. One is, in base defense, he's an off-the-ball linebacker, just like Micah Parsons was at Penn State. And then when they go to sub, he lines up anywhere from the A-gap out to the nine technique, the wide defensive end. But what he does best is explosive and rush the quarterback. So those two guys, Jalen Walker and Abdul Carter coming off the edge, they get me fired up.
You get me fired up, pal. Thanks for the 2 cents. Thanks for doing this. You're the best. And I can't wait to keep chatting with you. You be well, sir.
Thanks, brother. Great talking to you.
Believe in Eagles podcast, Lee and Mike Mayock. Check it out on the Believe Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts. That's the one and only Mike Mayock here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yes, I agree. There's a round of applause right there. That was awesome. I just, God, I just love that guy. The best.
Let's go.
I honestly, right? And he's not, I mean, he had all of those things that Howie Roseman has done. All of those things to get it. And that's why I kind of mentioned to him, too, like him knowing who to pay. You know what? We're going to pay A.J. Brown. Joe Burrow said that, I think, on the Pardon My Take podcast, right? Yep. It's like, hey, the Eagles paying everybody, which is his way of saying to the front office, hey, T. Higgins, don't let him walk.
Right.
The Eagles paid Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley, and they did it after giving Hurts his next contract. Hurts is not a second-round pick on his first deal. Anymore. No, he hasn't been for a few years.
He got paid.
Everybody's getting paid. Unreal. And he got Travis Hunter's atop his draft board. Loves Ashton Jeanty. Dude, you may not.
He's not going to be there.
I don't. Were the Cowboys 12?
Yeah, he's not getting.
I don't know.
He's not getting to 12.
Wasn't Jahmyr Gibbs drafted 12th overall?
I saw a mock yesterday that had him 6 to the Raiders.
Okay. Oh man, that must mean that the quarterback's gone, you know.
Right, or they by that point, or they get someone in free agency.
Raiders would not take Jeanty over one of the quarterbacks that's sitting there, right?
No, no. Or they get somebody in free agency,
like Aaron Rodgers.
Why not?
844-204 Rich, number to dial. Let's get a sports update right now from Andrew Bogish.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. During tax season, your personal info travels to a lot of places. Between payroll, your tax consultant, and the IRS. If your W-2 gets exposed, that's just the ticket for identity thieves. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't let identity thieves take you for a ride. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
One of the items that we have here on our set that's never shown on television is I got a book over there, Great Jews in Sports. Would you autograph that book for me?
It's a little tiny. It's a little pamphlet. Yeah.
You order, but no, it's not a pamphlet. It is a thick-ass book, okay? It is significant.
because it's about the history of the entirety of those sports in America. Okay, so we go back. Yeah, it's we buried it. Why do we have the Great Jews in Sports book completely buried on our set?
I mean, it's got its own spot. Everything here has its place.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Wow, you know, it's way in the back.
Howard Cosell, it looks like, is on the front cover.
I'm an inductee in the Southern California Jewish Sports Hall of Fame. Now.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wait, the best part about this is it's revised and updated with an introduction by Red Auerbach.
Hey, he's one of the greatest Jews in sports right there.
This book cannot be this thick. It has a lot of pictures
in it. Real, man.
Max Freeman, Pioneer of Basketball.
Turn it all the way to the back. How many pages is there? What the book ends on what page?
The Maccabee games are back here. Okay.
Yeah. The book ends, what's the last number?
Right 331.
There. 331 pages. Jeff Schwartz is going to autograph my copy of Great Jews in Sports.
This is an amazing book. I don't know this thing existed.
There you go. The Star of David above. Have you ever signed?
I've never
signed. Hold on. Give me the book and I'll hold it up right here.
I've signed a lot of things.
Wait, let's see what this looks like.
I signed a toilet seat one time. I signed a
what
toaster
What do you mean, hold on? What, you signed a toilet seat?
Yeah, at Oregon, we had this, like, you know, like the big day where everyone comes and signs things. And, someone guy brought a toilet seat one year and then brought a toaster the next year.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Do you know who you and your brother were the first Jewish brothers to play in the NFL since? Do you know that?
1923. It's in my book, Eli Schwartz. It's like the start of the book.
Do you know the name of the? Do you know their names?
Yeah, it was the Friedman brothers, right?
No.
Oh no, not the Friedman brothers.
Not Benny Friedman, who, by the way, went University of Michigan, father of the modern pass.
I should know this.
I'll give you Ralph and Arnold.
Yeah, I should.
Horween,
yeah. I used to know.
Horween brothers.
I should know that. That's in my book. But yeah, that's I do know.
Ralph was an All-American at Harvard. Oh, his mother must have been so proud.
Yes. God bless.
Won the 1920 Rose Bowl. Played under the alias of Ralph McMahon, an Irish name. What the hell? Are there Horweens in the book?
I just went to local Oregon. Jeez.
Arnold played four seasons for Racine Chicago Cardinals with his brother. Let me look it up.
Hold on a minute.
Here we go. Hold on a minute. Are they in here? The Horweens are not in here.
Or are they under the Irish name?
Red Holtz. We've got to look under McMahon just in case they put the Irish alias in here. Nope.
Oh.
But Red Holtzman's in here.
We got content out of that book. Why are we showing that? Oh, because we're about to talk about Alex Bregman, who since came in and signed that book as well. I think we got Julian Edelman, Alex Bregman, and Jeff Schwartz who signed that book.
Fantastic.
Right.
Hey, are we back on our radio side of things?
Hey.
I still got another 30 seconds to do that. Is that why you played that tape, Hoskins? Because we're about to talk about Alex Bregman? Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Connective tissue.
I just want to point out real quick, on March 29th, 2024,
yes.
I posted a tweet. Well, who's more likely to be on the Jets in 2025, Rodgers or Saleh?
Neither.
We now have our answer.
Jeez. Thank you for that. No Appreciate problem. It. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? Guess what? Yes, they're all fun. They're well-designed. They're super useful. But the right answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after because you pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. Hyundai is now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. Pick up through a participating Hyundai dealer in select markets. All right. My Major League Baseball news Sherpa. Not Jeff Passan. Cooper Evanison, who is locked in to the MLB app, locked in to the ESPN app. He sent me, as he termed it on a text, bad news. Alex Bregman going to the Boston Red Sox. 3-year deal, $120 million. And the crazy thing is, $10 million more per year than other teams were offering. And apparently a 5-year deal from the Tigers or from the Astros, a 6-year deal from the other. He goes 3 years, $120 million with 2 opt-outs. Meaning it's a series of three one-year deals, essentially?
Essentially, yeah.
Unless, can he opt out while rounding first base in the middle of the third inning? in June or something like that?
Here's the deal.
When do the opt-outs hit?
However you have to cope, you cope. Is it making jokes? Fine, that's fine. You wanted him and you didn't get him. We got him. Now that's two players that you wanted this offseason that both mine and TJ's teams got. And so you're just going to have to deal with it all summer long.
Guess what? Enjoy him. He is an outstanding baseball player. I just hope he doesn't opt out between third and home at one point.
Keep making jokes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
You'll be looking at us, up at us in the standings all year long.
Okay.
The Red Sox quietly had maybe the best offseason in the American League.
Get out of there. You haven't done a thing. You've been a bump on a log.
That is absolutely not true.
You finally spent money.
They traded for the best left-handed pitcher in the market this offseason.
Garrett Crochet.
Okay.
Max Fried.
Think about the guys that they have coming back. Okay. Lucas Giolito coming back from injury. Liam Hendricks coming back from injury.
Got it.
Aroldis Chapman, who still throws 180 miles an hour.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
This guy.
They have coming up, the best prospect in baseball, Roman Anthony. Like, just get ready, man.
Oh, guess what?
It's going to be a long summer for you.
You know what? You're right. Can you tell me, based on all of that, and I need an answer from you right now, how great is that Fenway Sports Group? How great?
They're
how
still
great?
Terrible.
Oh, really? Because you just told me they had the best non-playing season of anybody in baseball.
American League,
okay. Best one yet. Best one.
Oh, they should still sell the team. They should still sell the team.
Oh, my bad.
They do not get a pass forever for trading Mookie Betts, okay?
All I've heard is that they don't spend. They act like they're a medium market, a small market.
That was 6 years ago.
It's a perfect example. Here comes Alex Bregman.
Finally spending some money.
And he's just
damn time.
Here's what I want. I want to get out after this year, and I want to get out after the year after that.
Again, cope any way that you need
to. It's not
coping. There's several couches in this studio, okay? You're going to be looking up at us all year long.
When you say up, what do you mean? Like, are you playing baseball above Yankee Stadium? Is that where Fenway Park is in the airspace of the Bronx?
Whatever, man.
What do you mean? Like, up
whatever.
How?
Cope
how
however you up? Need to cope.
Up how?
By the way, I was looking forward to a year of you two bickering and fight, but I'm glad this is back.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm glad
this
is back.
You missed it, did you?
I missed it. Because we've sucked for the last few years.
Did you hear who the Yankees are circling now? Nolan Arenado.
That's nice. Take our scraps.
Scraps? How is that a scrap?
I mean, is he good anymore?
Okay. 34 years old, I'll take him. Him and Goldschmidt.
Isn't that old and, a little bit?
It is. And Bellinger. And Fried and the rest of the maneuvers that they made in losing Soto to the Kings of New York over there.
Still,
the ones
still
who
hurt
rule
by that.
New York.
The team from New York.
Oh,
until
baseball
Aaron Judge
season's
figures,
on.
Eating until right now. Judge figures out how Where's to hit the playoffs.
Oh, wait a minute. I've been told they just added another opt-out to the contract. Wait a minute. You know, no, he's still with the team, though.
Is there a special pill Judge can take to hit in the playoffs?
And you know what? Wow. I'll say this as well. We're on the subject matter.
I'm back, TJ. You know, I was out on baseball. I'm back.
Fellow Yankee fan. Fellow Yankee fan and terrific Rich Eisen Show producer, Ken Tulo. What's up, Kenny? He's at home. He came up with an idea. Chris DiStefano had, I guess, has said multiple times, including on Joe Rogan's pod, that he's a New Yorker and roots for both the Mets and the Yankees.
Ooh, is that acceptable?
No, it is beyond unacceptable.
Just checking.
And so Ken's like, you know what we should do? Let's get a Met hat for TJ and a Yankee hat for Rich, and let's have a debate on trying to pitch Chris DiStefano to choose one of the two.
Oh, fun.
And, you know, TJ even brought in the hats, which is really great. But guess what? We're not doing that. And the reason why we're not doing that is because
the most arrogant thing
it is not. It is not. It's because a debate over which New York team should be rooted for somebody who says, you know what, I'm a New Yorker, but I can root for both. And like he should choose one. That argument is beneath me as a Yankee fan.
God, that's the most arrogant thing you've been ever said.
It is beneath me.
And a long
to sit here and say why that you should choose the Yankees over the Mets.
And you wonder why no one likes you guys. I mean, it's obvious. That type of arrogance.
Beneath me.
That's why Juan Soto didn't want to stay in that clubhouse.
You want to be a lovable loser, or you want to be
losing anymore, baby.
Or you are joining the long-time, decades-long lovable losers just in time for them to be an upper hand team in New York City? Go for it. Not a problem. I am so happy that we are viewed as the secondary team in New York City by that group in New York.
No problem.
In Queens, where they hired the mercenary of mercenaries.
I literally have never seen anybody New York this pressed year. Over a comment by one player who was trying to appeal to his own fan base. You are shocked.
And then let's get AJ Minter talking.
Like, wow.
Let's get AJ Minter saying that that he's rooting, he's playing now for the real New York fans, as he says y'all in his famous New York accent of y'all.
Doesn't New York welcome immigrants?
Great.
And family. People from all, isn't that what the Statue of Liberty was about?
Sure. Like,
and hold on. And Mike, you're done. This morning you said you're a Dodger fan.
I'm going Dodgers.
So get out of here.
I'm going Dodgers.
That is pathetic. You're pathetic.
I'm going.
Go find a squirrel to feed.
Jeez.
Well, one of them's gone.
I'm sorry.
So I only have one.
Rest in peace, yo.
Rest in peace, Charles.
So we're not doing, Ken, great idea. Appreciate it. We're not like, well, this team has a mascot. This team doesn't have a mascot. You should root for the team that has no mascot. Beneath me to have that conversation.
We're back.
Audacity.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
Like, I go into a full spiral.
Get to know the TV personality.
I talked about this with Teresa Giudice.
Remember when I pushed Andy Cohen?
Yes, it was iconic.
Okay.
The entrepreneur.
What are we manifesting in 2025?
And the mom.
Sosa is a dream baby. Your kids are older. It's
Bravo children.
The celebrity children of celebrity Bravo love.
Give them Lala. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.